Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at issues 4, 5, and 6 of Mr. Miracle by Tom King and Mitch Gerards. Let's go.
Alex, I'm recording this time.
Ah, yes. That is the second time we've done that intro in the last 3 or 4 minutes. Drew forgot to hit record on the audio. That's okay. Stick around to the end of this episode to hear a funny tag of us realizing that we are baboons.
I was going to say, I think I was thinking buffoon before you even said baboon. Yeah. Like, maybe, are my skills improving about, does my nose tickle a little bit?
Yeah.
About half the time somebody's about to say process, but maybe when I start to almost know what somebody's about to say.
The goal eventually is for your nose to just tickle all the time when somebody's talking.
And it'll
be
useless.
What they're about to say.
Yeah. It'll be annoying.
So just to cover what we're going to do today, we didn't know for sure whenever we first started covering this series if we were going to finish all 12 issues, but after getting into it, we were like, we can't leave them hanging. They just wouldn't understand what was going on. And it's truly worth it. Again, I think we've mentioned a couple times, this is an Eisner-winning series. This Mr. Miracle run is solid, though. I just finished this a few days ago and had to just sit in bed and think about what I just read for a while. I was like, wow. It's one of those things, and I'm assuming everybody has this at some point if they've consumed some sort of media that they thoroughly enjoyed. Just as soon as you're done reading it, you like sit there and you're like trying to gather your thoughts of how you feel about it and everything, and then you get on the internet and start Googling reviews of it and see what everybody else thought about it, and then you finally like land on this conclusion. At least that's what I did. I like it a lot. It's also something that I think will be very, and come to find out on the internet, was like relatively polarizing, as far as not like controversial by any means, but you know, you're either going to like how something ends or you're not. And this series certainly ends in a way that will invite that debate.
See, I read the first 6 issues mm-hmm. before we recorded the first one, and I've still only read the first 6
several times.
Yeah, a couple times. So I have no idea what he's talking about. But as soon as he says that, it makes me think of whenever I read the Dark Tower series by Stephen King. I've read the whole thing, all 8 books of it, like 3 times.
Yeah.
The first time I finished, I was just like, what?
Right.
What? No. What? And then I read about what people thought about it. And then I read it the second time. I was like, okay, yeah, makes sense. And the third time, I was like, it can't be any other way.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm wondering if it's going to be a similar type of thing. I have no idea, and I don't want him to tell me. I don't want him to tell you, because
you got to read it.
We got to read it.
Yeah. So. I feel like it's a process that it's good for.
For the record, I was already scratching my nose before you said that.
Yeah. It is a process for people to go through that I think is healthy, to get to the end of something that you are enjoying and almost be challenged by it a little bit, like, that's the direction they're going. Because you all, when you read a story, you have like an idea, even subconsciously in your head, like, oh, this is how the thing's going to end. And this story did not end how I thought it was going to end. And it's good to process those things and hear different stories. And I think everybody's gonna agree with me that it was a good choice. Even if we can all read it and slightly come to a different understanding of what you just took in, if that makes sense. I won't say any more, just to avoid any sort of spoiler. Nice. But before we do all that, Drew, what you been reading, yo?
Not a whole lot, Alex.
Weird.
I've reread these books.
Let the record show that Rodney Martinez just texted me during
the
recording of this podcast. Therein flexing his superpowers live TV.
If you want to know more about that, you should join our Discord. where we encourage you to tell us what your mundane superpower is. Link is in the show notes and in the on the description. We've learned since this point that we can't actually put a link some out of YouTube.
Not
at,
until
at
there are
time.
Way more of you.
So just scroll down, check the link, join our Discord, go to the show notes in the podcast app you're using, and if you can, click on it. If not, the address is pasted there, so you should be able to like highlight it and paste it into the search bar. Anyway, yeah, join the Discord, and you can see what on earth we're talking about Rodney Martinez and his superpowers.
Yeah. What's up, Rodney?
Where was I?
Oh, yeah. What you been reading? Sorry.
That's fine.
Rodney interrupted you.
It's his, all Rodney's fault. I have reread the books that we're covering today. I've also read more of that Insurance Adjusters in Space novel I was talking about. It took a turn. It's interesting. I'm really enjoying it, actually. I wish I could tell you what the actual name of it was. and I had a shipment came in today, or not today, a couple days ago, based on something I talked about recently. A friend of the podcast, Ryan Pond, he has a podcast, Cosmic Campfire, where he interviewed the Miranda brothers, the creators of We Live.
Yeah, I saw you guys talking about this on Discord.
And I picked it up because he made a comment that's like one of his favorite top five of all time. Yeah, go for it. And he's even mentioned more about it on the Discord, saying like he doesn't think he's ever seen a story that was pulled off this well. I've only read the first issue because if I'm going to read, I really need to be reading Mr. Miracle right now. There's a chance maybe we'll cover this at some point because he seems to think it's that good. Basically, I'll try to give you an elevator pitch. The world is coming to an end and there's nothing we can do about it.
Ooh.
It's kind of off in the future, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm giving too much away, but aliens have offered to intervene.
Interesting. Offered.
Yeah.
That alone. Hey, do you want us?
So, anyway, I don't feel like I gave away too much there because literally it's just,
right.
But it like the circumstances with which they are offering to help are interesting. So, but yeah, it's good. It's an Aftershock title. And for the record, if you are looking for this in August of 2021, good luck. I had to go search like four or five different stores before I could find the trade paperback. You can buy all the issues digitally, but you have to buy them individually. There's not a digital trade yet that I could find.
Right.
And
it's not on Comixology.
I didn't see it on there yet. Cool. Or you might be able to buy the books individually.
Right.
But that's the thing. Like, I have a hard time. Like, I can either use Comixology Unlimited, or I can go on to the internet and like buy them digitally. And I have a hard time like navigating the app to buy them. So I don't think you can actually buy them on the app.
Yeah, I think you have to do it through Amazon.
Yeah.
And there's like a little button to click, like buy through Comixology and Kindle or whatever. Yeah. It's all like a booked together.
So,
pun intended.
I think it's out there. I was just having a little bit of trouble, and I was like, you know, this is the sort of one I think I'd like to have it in my hands at some point. And also, I just want to show the first page real quick.
The art's really cool. Like, I just thumbed through a little bit of it just to avoid some sort of spoilers.
You see that? I can't hold it and talk into the mic. There's a QR code down there, and a composer worked with them to write like a score to it. I've only come across the first one, which is just kind of like setting the mood for some things. And there's like a whole album. I haven't listened through it because I'm kind of wanting to listen to it the first time as I go through.
That's cool.
And I was thinking if I'm reading this digitally, I'm going to have a harder time wrangling two devices to read a QR code. So
yeah, I've thought about that exact problem. Like when you are supposed to scan a QR code with the device you're using to view the QR code. I hope that we figured that out. Like iOS and Android need to...
like just a long touch feels like it should be able to do
some, it. Or like just on-screen recognition, AI figures it out. It's like, do you want to open this? You know, or like it glows or something. I don't know. Yeah. There's got to be a way. There's got to be a way.
But of course, if it did that, then it might have to take you out of it. We need also the interface to do it. and open it picture in picture. So
yeah. PIP QR codes through artificial intelligence. Sounds easy.
Easy.
Get on it, Tim Cook.
So, but yeah, that's what I've been reading. And I've also been watching some TV. That's not as important right now. Alex, what you been reading, yo?
I have been slowly but surely carrying on with our quest of Alex and Drew Read the New 52 with, I think I've read like 4 or 5 issues of, what's it called? The Batman Year Zero. Is that what it is? Hold on. I'm going back to look. Home Comics, Batman. Oh, it's just, yeah, 0 Year. That's what it is. Batman the New 52. It starts at like issue 21 or something like that. It's interesting so far. I've always known who the Riddler is and seen him in the movies with good old Jim Carrey. And I guess he was in, was he in Gotham maybe or something like that?
Maybe. I haven't actually watched any of Gotham.
Okay. Anyway, he seems to be, we're heading towards an Edward Nygma villain thing in this first bit. But it's cool. Just kind of slowly working through that. Also, still working through the mountain of X-Men comics that I still have to read. I also restarted reading Al Ewing's Hulk run that is wrapping up soon in anticipation of not being several years behind whenever we get to Donny Cates' Hulk run, who is taking over for that book. So I've been reading a little bit. I also, today is Friday, August 6th, The Suicide Squad, James Gunn's run on the movie just came out last night, if you waited up for it. And I did, and I stayed up and watched it. I will not spoil anything. I'll just say that it has a very high Rotten Tomatoes score, and I see why. You should watch it if you can handle that. Sorry, Sarah, it's too way too spicy for you. Gloriously violent. I will say that. Like, they are unapologetic about this, the absurdity of some of the violence. It's kind of like silly almost. Like, huh, I didn't know a human body could do that, even when it's being damaged.
Wow.
But it was fun. I can see a lot of people thinking it's their favorite DC movie, pending they like that sort of thing. I think it's good. Beyond that, not too much. Like I said, I finished Mr. Miracle just a handful of days ago and haven't done anything else.
I did remember. There was one thing I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just our friend Torrance isn't with us today. He started a new job. But last night, I had the pleasure of playing a game with him and another friend of the podcast, yes. DJ, where we started a game, a role-playing game called Masks. So if you like D&D and stuff like that, it's not the same mechanisms as D&D, but it's like we're all creating superheroes, and we created the world that we exist in. And last night we had our character creation session, and I couldn't decide what my name was going to be. I knew I wanted to be Fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like one of the mechanics they have. You can kind of build somebody that's kind of like Captain Marvel, like from Marvel's Captain Marvel, or somebody that's kind of like Robin and Batman, you know,
right.
Or something that's more along the lines of Superman or the Hulk. I picked one that was kind of more, you can do whatever you want to with it, but like it's more like the Flash or Spider-Man or somebody who lives a parallel, you know, alter life.
Right.
I sounded like something crazy just then. I'm sorry. I'm my brain is not keeping up with my vocal cords. Anyway, I just knew I wanted to be Fast. And as soon as I got in there, playing with a couple other people that I met for the first time last night. And one of them, I was like, I don't know what to call myself. I want something that's, you know, kind of fast sounding, but mm-hmm. also maybe a little bit funny. And like without missing a beat, he was like, what about Quick Man? And I was like, I like that. I want to be Quick Man.
Yeah.
And I sat there just trying to think, what is my actual name? And my name is going to be Darnell Parnell. And whenever I was introducing myself,
yeah.
I accidentally put a little bit of Southern drawl in there. So it's possible that I'm going to be playing Darnell Parnell, who yeah. by day is a delivery boy and also the world that we created. We played another game where mm-hmm. we kind of invented the world. It's called Midland, and because it's a strip of land in the middle of a river.
Ah.
So it works, and there's kind of next to a metropolis type thing. Anyway, for whatever reason, we talked about, like, as we were building the backstory of this town, one of the things is that it has become the noise music mecca of, like, the world. So noise music is exactly what it sounds like. There's a bunch of different types, but it's, like, very noisy and, like, about the creation of it as much as it is the package.
Yeah.
Packaging. I've listened to a little bit of noise music. I've made some noise music. But anyway, so I've decided that I am a member of a noise band called Fuzz Factory, which is also the name of a guitar pedal brand. So anyway, I am a developing noise musician in the mecca of noise music, also delivery boy who's doing it all to try to make his pay his rent while at nights or, you know, on the side, I put on a suit and I go out as Quick Man with a team of people. Torrance is playing one. Maybe he'll want to tell you more about it himself, but apparently both me and him are actually having secret identities and we don't even know. Like the heroes in our team don't even know who we are.
Yeah.
But his character is a huge fan of Fuzz Factory. So we've like met and like had conversations as our alter egos and fought battles together as our superheroes. Or maybe that's the alter ego. I don't know. But we don't know that it's actually happening together.
Wow.
So it's a, anyway, it's a fun game. It's called Masks. And it's an interesting game, you know. It kind of has the same mechanics as Blades in the Dark that we played for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if it gets interesting, I might keep you guys apprised of what's happening in Midland. We used to have a mayor who was a talking dog. Sadly, he passed away. And there's also a talking stop sign named Craig.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Stop!
Craig's actually responsible for our team coming together the first time to save the widowed mayor's wife, who's also a dog, and their litter during a photo op. So, Anyway.
Come on, Craig.
If you like... tabletop role-playing games, maybe look into Masks if you like superheroes.
Sounds fun. It helps having somebody like DJ to
for real, yo.
Run your game.
Yeah, he's really good at it.
Yeah,
so.
Does his thing. Cool. We have enough time to jump into the first issue that we're covering today, which is issue 4 of Mr. Miracle, so we're going to jump into that. Just for this first episode, I'll go ahead and read all the credits. Tom King is the writer. Mitch Gerards does the pencils, inks, and the colors, as well as the variant cover. Clayton Cowles does the letters. Nick Darrington did this cover. Maggie Howell is the assistant editor, with Molly Mahan as the associate editor. Jamie S. Rich is the editor, and Mr. Miracle was created by the one and only Jack the King Kirby.
There's on DC Universe, and I think Marvel does it some too, sometimes they'll show you the variant covers.
Yeah.
And I happen to really like this variant one.
Yeah,
I'm just putting it right here so that Drew Morris later knows which one to put up there. But it's super overexposed, so I can't actually tell.
Yeah, I think it'll look normal.
Once again, this is a great radio.
Yeah. This issue was really cool. So if you just remember the main big thing that happened in issue 3, Scott was called and summoned by Orion into the Great Room and essentially got the crap beat out of him by Orion, who was claiming that he is God, you know, he's the High Father. He was really just kind of asserting himself and his dominance, like, over Scott, who's kind of been passively challenging him since issue 1, really. So we open up with issue 1 with Scott bandaged and bruised, laying in bed, and Big Barda kind of like tending to him. Excuse me while I burp. I felt that one like 4 minutes ago and it finally hit to the top. Anyway, the very first panel, we get a boom. So this boom tube enters the room and they just see it. And we're going to do we're going to move kind of quick through all these because there's this cool element of all of these comics that they do feel like one scene in several instances and they're all very self-contained in like a certain spot in, like, for instance, this one largely takes place inside their apartment, like the whole thing. So it gives us the ability to A, tell you everything that's going on, but also B, summarize it in a way where we can also fit it in three issues within this episode. So we'll just say that this boom tube goes off, Scott's laying there battered and bruised, and Barda looks ticked off immediately, gets up, and we quickly find out that she's in there talking with Light Ray, who's kind of the right-hand man of Orion, and he's saying that he's there as the voice of the High Father, and basically Big Bart is warning him immediately, like, you need to get out of here, or I'm going to do something with this, what's her cosmic rod? She's going to put it somewhere where the sun don't shine, she says. And Scott's just listening to this in the other room, and he's slowly getting ready. He happens to put on this shirt that you're seeing my co-host wear. Timely. Yeah. But he's in there, and basically Light Ray comes in there to say, like, as a member of the High Family General Kree, you have a choice, execution or trial, because it has been declared that you are an agent of Darkseid. And he's kind of taking this information really well, Scott is.
Another one of those times where we kind of mentioned in the past one where, like, these crazy, like, world-shifting things are happening, and he's just like, I got to go get more milk,
right,
or whatever. And in this case, he's like, just pouring coffee, and he's just like, I'll have a trial.
Yeah. Yeah, so he gets in there. He's accused of being an agent of Darkseid. He's told executioner trial, and he's literally, that's the panel. He's pouring coffee into his coffee mug that says, I am God. And he's like, trial. And, you know, and Big Bart is still freaking out, like, threatening this guy. She feels, you know, very protective right now. Mm-hmm. And actually has already put Light Ray on his butt once and then does it again and bloodies his nose. He gets really aggressive, and basically she just kind of beats him up until he gets out of there.
Yeah. And so finally, like, by the way, Barda looks angry. Like,
yeah.
I was reading these in bed last night, and I always have the frame zoomed in because mm-hmm. I set it sideways, and she had this big angry face right in my face with fists covered in blood, and I was like, man, I don't want to get on her bad side.
Yeah, Big Barda would hurt me.
So we flash forward a couple hours at least. Well, I guess that probably the whole day.
Yeah, I think so.
And
looks like nighttime.
Scott is laying there with his head in Big Barda's lap, and they're watching TV. Godfrey's back on.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I was reading a comic book. It might have been Supergirl. It was one of those Supergirl, Superman, Batman, Superman ones that I'm working my way through. And Godfrey, that show, was mentioned on there. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's been around for a long time. Cool. It was like G. Godfrey or something. So I was just like, oh.
If you know more about the DC lore of Godfrey, please share with us.
Yeah. So anyway, they're watching that, and Godfrey kind of pops in. He's doing his monologue before his show, and he makes some comment like, yeah, you hear about what happened with the president? He doesn't need a miracle. He needs a Mr. Miracle. Or he needs Mr. Miracle.
Yeah.
And they're watching that, and we get another Dark Side Is panel. And it's kind of, we're kind of having this fusion, this fugue state where then all of a sudden it's like, I don't know if Granny Goodness literally popped in or if Scott is hallucinating, because she pops up on the TV,
yeah,
theoretically saying, I drew God, but no one knows what God looks like, you know, and it's just for a split second.
Right.
And
I will say, before we pass on, I want you to keep going on this next spot. It is relevant, I will say, to acknowledge the existence when the art changes a little bit and looks a little more 3D, otherworldly-esque, because either you acknowledge it and kind of hold on to it in your memory now, or you're going to find yourself thumbing back to look at everything later and go, oh, interesting. Well, we'll just say that much.
I did forget to mention earlier, he picked trial.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, where do you want to do it? You get to pick the location. He was like, I got a show tomorrow, and I also have a package showing up. So can we just do it here in the house? So now we are at his show, which is the only page in the entire book that is not happening in his living room or in his house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just standing on top of a barrel, basically saying, hey, this could be my last show, so I hope you enjoy it. And behind him is like a Wayne Enterprise train. I said earlier, the Wayne train.
Well, yeah.
And he just pops down into it, and then this other train comes barreling through the barrel. I did not mean to say that. Wow. And just, you see is just slowly, sequentially. Like, he's up there, he gets in, he gets farther in, he closes off the top. You have one where it's just the barrel, and then the train is like, it literally, it's the frame is the split second before it implodes. And then you turn the page, and we're back in the living room, and Orion's walking in via boom tube. Big Barda's in her get up. So is
everybody.
So is everybody. And she's like, we got a veggie tray.
Yeah. I'll just say, I mean, Drew's going to put some of this art up here. This is a serious and silly moment all at the same time. Like, they're having this trial of the gods, accusing the son, the original son of the High Father, the current son of Darkseid, as being an agent of Darkseid, crimes against the High Father, this massive thing. Everybody's in their full costume as new gods, and they're sitting in this very boring human apartment, yeah. And there's a veggie tray with some carrots, some broccoli, some celery, some ranch sitting there.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a silly scene that has serious ramifications, and there's some great like development here and kind of story movement, but it's all overlaid with a veggie tray. Yeah.
And it's also interesting, you know, we've had multiple scenes where in the past Orion is like, stand. He just gets up and he's like standing, and then he beats him down. And Mr. Miracle says, should I be sitting or standing? And Orion's like, sit. And he just sits down backwards in his chair, and he's like, sitting.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's a nice little touch.
Yeah, it was a nice wink.
Oh, and then it shows Big Barda and then Light Ray. And I don't know this other guy. They're all just crunched together, and they're like, your couch is inadequate. Or the sofa is inadequate. And he's like, shut up, Light Ray. But anyway, we get going into this, and I think we could go in a whole lot more, but basically,
so Orion, right before they start, he goes, shall we begin?
Yeah.
And Mr. Miracle thinks for a second, and he stands up out of his awkward position. He's like, you know what? I'm going to get a carrot.
Yeah.
He slowly walks over and dips his carrot in ranch and comes down, and he's like, okay. Starts eating his carrot. He's just not taking it seriously. Like, he's showing.
Yeah.
I have zero respect for what we're doing right now. But anyway, carry on.
And I'm going to try to make it quick because we have 3 minutes before we got to cut. I wonder if we can make it. Probably not.
We can do it.
Basically, Orion appoints himself as judge, jury, and executioner, basically.
Seems
like,
fair.
All the same thing. He's like, to do any less would...
be an insult to the title of High Father.
Yeah. So, and he sits there and... he just goes through all this, like, you're going to answer true or false. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you think. I want to know. Or actually, it is what you believe. Like, you're going to, sometimes you want a true or false. I don't know.
Right.
Or depends. Mm-hmm. Just like, and he basically goes through this line of questioning, asking, you know, do you feel like my claim of High Father is wrong? And he's like, true. Right. And works his way through, all these questions about the anti-life equation, which I don't know, by the end, I'm like, man, whenever Orion started talking, I was like, you don't have a clue. But by the end, I was like, dude, he had this planned out from the beginning.
Yeah. It's very meticulously planned. If you are an agent of Darkseid, would you necessarily know that you're an agent of Darkseid? All these sorts of things. Do you hate yourself? Did you try to kill yourself? If you saw Light Ray kill Forager here in this room, true or false? And he very much was, as Drew said, planned of like, okay, and it truly ends.
And then we get a ding ding.
Oh yeah.
And then the package comes up and he's like, oh, I think it's a microphone.
Right.
And so an Amazon package totally is. Sorry. I had to interrupt because that interrupted.
No, it's fine. But anyway, it gets down to these very personal things like you hate Apocalypse, true. You hate your career, true. You hate your childhood, true. Your life, true. Yourself, true. You hate God, true. All these things to eventually the final true is, Scott, you are the anti-life equation. And that's the first time where he doesn't give it a blunt true.
Yeah.
And he just cracks and explodes on Orion and just decks him right in the face. You know, just during a trial, punches the High Father in the face and puts him on his butt and just freaks out. And Big Bart is holding him back and he breaks down and he's like truly having a moment. He starts crying and then...
he stands up to get a carrot.
Yeah, Orion stands up to get a carrot. After I thought this was funny too, because after he gets decked before he stands to get a carrot, he goes, Jesus, you know, just acknowledging Jesus was kind of a funny thing. Gets a carrot and then basically sentences him to death.
Yeah. So like, you're going to come to my throne in 3 days. I can't hold you because you can escape from anything, but I expect to see you in 3 days for your execution.
Yeah. And they boom tube out of there, and it's just Barda holding Mr. Miracle, and he's like, I can't. And she goes, I know.
Yeah.
And issue over. And with that, we'll be back in a second for issue number 5.
Wow. You literally timed that right at 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Or 30 minutes. I had to sit there and watch. I was like, is he going to get it? All right, and we're back with issue number 5. This is 5, right?
Yes,
5. And this one, we're going to try to be pretty quick because, honestly, this is almost like a clip show.
Yeah.
In my opinion, except that it's not. Because these are Scott's last days before his execution, right? So he's going and doing touristy things. Like, he goes to the Chinese theater where everybody has their hands and stuff. And it looks like, I don't know if he was actually doing his own,
mm-hmm.
or if he just went, because it shows him putting his hands in Jack Kirby's hands.
Yeah.
Jack Kirby, 1972. Kid, comics will break your heart, is what it says. I didn't even catch it the first time because it looked like it said Jade Kelly to me or something. And when I read it this time, I was like, oh, it's Jack Kirby. He's putting mm-hmm. his hands in his father's hands.
Yeah.
How cute.
Right.
Anyway, and as they're leaving that, a guy comes in. He was the guy, the announcer. I can't remember if his name's Freddy or Frankie or Freaky or something like that. But
I always forget.
Yeah. He's the super like circus personality, like yeah. a carnival barker.
The ringleader.
Yeah. And he's like, so we got a problem. You can't, if you just die, if you just kill yourself, that's bad for PR because the new gods are hot and you're the most popular. So
right.
we got a plan. We're going to have you go up to it and follow you. And you're going to say that you're trying it again, basically committing suicide, you mm-hmm. know? And if you want to come back afterwards, it's your choice, but you know, you go out on a high note and everybody still loves you.
Yeah.
That's not exactly what he's saying, but it's like yeah. basically.
Yeah. It is important to establish as we're watching this, that he's kind of going along with his sentence. Like, you know, it maybe even just because it's kind of hard to ignore the fact that he was just sentenced to death and all of Apocalypse or all of, what's the other one? What is the other? It's Apocalypse and the side of Fourth World that Orion lives on, or the High
New Genesis.
New Genesis.
Apocalypse and New Genesis.
Yeah, yeah. All of New Genesis is expecting him to be executed for crimes against the High Father. So this really is kind of almost an acceptance of that and them, as Drew said, spending their last days just trying to enjoy each other's life.
They finally get back to their condo and I'll just say they do what married people do.
Yeah.
As
one would possibly do if you were about to yeah. die.
Then we jump forward a few pages and they're at a what's the word? Graveyard,
yeah.
a cemetery. And they're looking at Oberon's
mm-hmm.
thing. And I think it's funny. His quote on his tombstone is, get me out of here. but he's like, oh no, I thought it was him saying it's impossible. I just realized that was a Big Barda.
Yeah, it's Big Barda.
They're talking about like how to get back to where they need to in time.
Yeah.
And they're like, we can't, it's going to take us 73 minutes on the I-10 or whatever they call it, on 101.
Yeah, this is an important thing to mention as well.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get lots of moments of, and this is kind of the brilliance of this book, is very human, real relationship conversations that we've all had
yeah.
with either friends or significant others, and it's set in the context of these gods
yeah.
that are still having to deal with traffic, of all
yeah.
things, you know?
And they're like, hey, Mother Box, what would it take, you know,
mm-hmm.
how long would it take? And they're like, well, what if we did just Mother Box from here to there? And the Mother Box says, Earth to Earth boom tube travel holds the possibility of shearing the fabric of space-time, possibly critically wounding your current reality. And she's like, 73 minutes might be worth it.
I laughed at that part.
And then they're in a traffic jam. And I didn't notice his car before, but he's got like is that an Aston Martin or an Austin Healey? It's one of the old
it
James Bond
like
cars.
Looks like one of those, yeah.
Yeah, and he's even, it's like right side drive, you
mm-hmm.
know. It might be James Bond's car, for all we know. This part's ridiculous. You're like, So do we have a song, you know, like the first song that we were together and
yeah, they're just talking like, do we have a song? Like when we, a song we first heard when we first started dating.
And they're like, no, I mean, we had the Moans of the Damned all around us, you know, he was like, and then he has the Mother Box play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, no, God help me. Why? Anything. I'll give you anything. And they're both just laughing.
My eyes are bleeding. Yeah.
And anyway, they end up at a little diner, mm-hmm. and he orders a sandwich and, you know, it looks like a Reuben maybe, or maybe a, what is that? A pastrami on rye, and also got some soup. But anyways, the woman brings it and everybody's like in the place. They're like fanboying over him. And she's like, how can you eat at a time like this? And he's like, no, this is the best sandwich in all the worlds.
Right.
You know, you should really get one of your own. I'm not sharing. She's mm-hmm. like, I can't eat. How?
Right.
And then they jump forward and they're just walking around and they stop at this little, pond and just kind of do some sightseeing. And then they end up at this carnival where apparently whenever they first got married or on a honeymoon or something, he was going to try to win her a prize and he never did. So he's sitting there hucking, you know, baseballs at this pile of tin cans and
trying to knock
keeps
him over.
keeps missing. And he's like, but then the next scene, she has this giant Wonder Woman stuffed
plushie thing.
Yeah. And there's a woman trying to take their picture with it. And cause it has like the face boxes, face tracking thing. And every time she goes to take a picture, she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I think I locked it. I locked it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we jump forward again. And they're just on a beach watching the sun go down, you know, with the carnival in the distance. And he's just getting real philosophical.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to go into it because I'm not very smart and I didn't totally understand what he was getting at. So, but it's worth reading. If you want to see the inner thoughts of Mr. Miracle or Tom King, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I think the breadth of this is, what would you be talking about with your loved one sitting on a beach right before you were about to die, you know?
Obviously, I think
throughout the entire day. Yeah, right. So that spans a lot of stuff because they do have the time to do that. Mm-hmm. And some of those things are trivial, like traffic. Some of them are super high brain, like philosophy, and then everything in between. And this, we are going to speed through a lot of this, but this is not the only time that that sort of device will be used to tell the story that you really should be reading this along with us. It's going to pay off a lot more for you.
So eventually they get home, and the next morning, he's awakened by a boom tube, and Frankie, Freddy, whatever his name is, he's there with two really interesting looking guards.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm just going to go get dressed. And he puts on his Mr. Miracle outfit and he's just about to go. And before he can...
Yeah, those guards are there to escort him to his execution.
Before he can, you see this zap go through one of their heads, and then a cosmic rod takes out the other one, and this guy's like, wait, what? And, you know, you basically get the idea. She just tells him, stay.
Yeah, so it came to the moment. He was going to have to go. He was dressed, ready to go. He left Big Barda sleeping in her bed, and she got up in her birthday suit of all things and used her cosmic rod to kill these men and was like, you're not going to die. We're not doing this. Yep. And
then it's over.
End of issue.
I mean, we went through that one really fast, but that's just kind of the speed of that one. It was, a lot of important things happened, a lot of important conversations and whatnot, but it was really just kind of a prelude to the next issue.
Yeah. I will say it one more time, like, please go through and read this. You like comic books. If you're listening to this episode, like, you really like comic books, actually, or you really like me or Drew for some reason. But get the DC Infinite, get Marvel Unlimited, those two, skip a couple coffees every month, as we always say, and read them. It is worth it to take these stories in as they were presented, because we can only do so much just through describing it, and it's a lot of great storytelling. Anyway, on to issue 6.
And for the record, I'm pretty sure that we still have the same creative team from 5 and 6 as we had in 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'll jump in really quick with the beginning. We open up on something rather gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize what it was at first, but it's basically Mr. Miracle and Barda are just down in the basement of the condo area putting these bodies into the incinerator or whatever, the furnace or whatever it is.
And straight up CSI criminals.
And like the whole time they're just looking on. Barda is just on her phone, or actually Barda, I think, is controlling the incinerator, and Mr. Miracle's just looking, and it, the page ends with her saying, "I want to redo the whole condo."
And there's your theme there, for the entire issue.
This, we've talked about something like this before. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever you're watching a Marvel movie, any superhero movie, and the superheroes are carrying on average everyday conversation as if me and you sitting here, except they happen to be, you know, kicking butt the whole time.
I can think of one right now. Age of Ultron, Black Widow and Hawkeye sitting in the car driving on this floating island trying to get all the people off of it. And Hawkeye's driving, ripping through gears, you know, they're shooting things passively. And he's like, "I think we're going to take out that interior wall." It's very similar to this. She's like, "The one next to the foyer or something like that." And he's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "It'll be a bigger kitchen." She's like, "Ah, but you're going to lose some living rooms." I don't know. Just very.
What year would that have been from? When was Age of Ultron? It would have
been 2015, maybe.
So it's possible.
Sometime.
Tom King. I don't know. He may have been thinking this exact scene. Well, even then, years it might not have been
the first instance of such things. But
it's funny because practically that exact conversation is about to happen.
Right. I feel like I can summarize this one pretty good. So there's it's a full size comic. Again, read it. They're going through to essentially catch them off guard by taking out Orion and the Highfather, because if he doesn't, he's going to be executed. So the plan is infiltrate New Genesis, get to the Highfather, take him out, and then suddenly you're next in line for the throne because it normally would have been you at that spot, and then we don't have this problem anymore. So as skilled as Mr. Miracle and Big Barda are, I almost said Big Bertha, they're handily doing this the whole time. Mm-hmm. They're doing all this crazy fighting and acrobatics and tunneling through things. And at one point they're in this vat with this like Leviathan, like dragon that they take out, and they're just tunneling and tunneling and getting to the spot. And they eventually, like one of the key moments in it, I'm pretty far ahead at this point. They get to Light Ray, who is like one of the last lines of defense before they even get to Orion, the Highfather. And they even kill him. Like they finally take him out. And as they're both like sitting on the ground, like obviously winded from this moment, like trying to catch their breath before they go in to fight Orion, Big Barda just drops this bomb. And keep in mind, they've just been talking about continuously like 15, 20 pages about how they're going to remodel. And Scott's like, why would we do this?
Why would we do this? We don't need the... He's basically, to summarize, like, we want to make the living room a little smaller because we don't need all this space. And we're going to... This is going to become a bedroom. And he's like, but we have a bedroom. And he's like, no, but this is going to become a second bedroom. He's like, why do we need a second bedroom? Yeah. We have a blow up mattress for guests.
Right.
So it's like,
you get the feeling that she's just trying to like settle in a little bit more. And then she drops the bomb. She goes, "Scott, so I'm pregnant." And then there's this fantastic moment where they're still fighting Light Ray. He's shooting lasers at her and Big Bart is charging at him and decks him. And she's just standing over there powerfully over them. And then Scott comes up behind her and just gives her a genuine
smile. Like,
you've
got to see that one on the YouTube right here.
We'll put the panel up there, but he's just holding his wife who's going to give him his first child. And he's amidst all of the chaos, suddenly realizing that she was just trying to find a way to tell him that she was pregnant by saying, we need a little more space for a baby that's going to be coming here. So they're standing outside Orion's room talking about what they're going to do. And, you know, she says, he's your brother. Talk to him. Because he's like, what do I do? And he goes, he's not my brother. He doesn't talk. And she said, try. Just be sincere. And if he still won't talk, you know, cut his bleepity bleep off. And I don't know what it says, but you can fill in the dots here. And then Scott kind of says, like, he acknowledges, like, one of the points was, like, getting rid of a cigar box. And now he realizes why. He's like, hey, I'll get rid of the cigar boxes when we get back. And she smiles and says, sounds good. And then they walk into the room, and then it's pure distorted chaos immediately. Mm-hmm. And this is just the last little bit. Everything's like this dark, rich, burgundy, reds, and neonish purples and pinks. And Orion, the High Father, is laying on the ground dead. There's blood everywhere. And surprisingly, Scott's reacting quite different than he thought. Maybe he was going to try to reason with him a little bit before it got bad, but he's freaking out. He's saying, "No, no, Orion, oh, Orion, what did you do?" And he looks up and he's looking at somebody, and splash to the next panel, and we see Darkseid sitting there with his angular
Omega beams,
that's what they're called, shooting out of his eyes. And he says, "Darkseid does not do." And then we get another panel, "Darkseid is." And then boom, Darkseid boom tubes out of there. Mr. Miracle takes off his helmet. He's looking at the dead body of his quote-unquote brother. Big Bart is yelling, and it's just chaos ensuing. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't know what just happened. Orion beat him to it. It's kind of like the result they wanted, but not how they wanted it to happen, I guess. Or maybe there was like a tinge of hope that they truly would be able to just discuss this. Like, hey, you know, you're not going to kill me. We can find some sort of thing. But then the issue just ends.
Well, kind of going back, they do say, the last thing is like, "I saw it, Barda.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking, but there it was. I saw the face of God."
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's been such a theme. Like, and I kind of saw that. I was just like, wait a minute. So, I mean, countless humans have seen Darkseid whenever he's battling Superman and stuff like that. Why is it such a big deal for gods, the new gods, to actually see Darkseid? I don't know. Like, I haven't read past it. Maybe they go into it. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's just more the principle of the thing.
Yeah.
But
I've kind of always interpreted it as just like the something to do with the anti-life equation and all that sort of thing. I don't know. It is a little bit, I'm sure this might pay off a little more if you're down the rabbit hole of the new gods and truly know the meta-ness of it all. But it's a pretty intense ending to an otherwise like serious mission through line that has like some human elements to it. But they give you a little nugget of, oh, they're going to have a baby. You know, now there's even more reason to stay alive. And then they just like, boom, hammer home.
It's like Beethoven. Whenever he plays this, you know, wrote this terribly sad, tragic music, and then he modulates to a major key just for long enough to make you think like, oh, things are going to be fine. And then he rips it away and you're just like buckets of tears.
Darkseid is Beethoven. Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
Anyway, that's the end. Oh, dissonant. That's the end of issue 6 and the end of what we're covering.
We almost left it there, but Alex kept reading like a good boy. And he was like, no, we got to keep going. So that's good.
Yeah, imagine if we just were like, all right, well.
Well, the
if
whole
you
point
out more, go read.
Was leaving it there was just like, hey, now you got to go check it out yourself.
Yeah.
But
and please do. Yeah. Please. I know some of you. I know you just listen to us. You don't actually read these comics because you're naughty. You're naughty. Go read these comic books. They're so good. Eisner,
so good,
award-winning comics from maybe my favorite creative team in comics right now. Like, I can't think of another one that I'm like, oh yeah, that's better. I love the humanity that Tom King puts in these books. The art is incredible. Like, Mitch Gerard's, hats off, chef's kiss. Everything is awesome. Like, it's right up my alley, my type of art. Any closing thoughts on these three issues?
No, except that I need to actually do some reading now.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get caught up. It's worth it. We're only 6 away, and they're not like super hard reads. There's a couple that are like the one we just read. Like, there's a through line, but there's substance to it, and we don't have time to go into all of that, nor do I want you to only get this through us, like get it from the source. Cool. You ready for some two-man lightning trivia?
Yeah, I've got a faster than if do you want
it.
Me to take it. It's do not it. It's not about this. But
I'm
here
ready.
We go.
Yeah.
It's about something else.
I'm ready.
All right. And we're going to jump right ahead to our lightning round trivia, where the questions are faster than me, a superhero, Quick Man.
Ah. It was kind of about this.
Darnell Parnell.
Faster than Darnell Parnell.
Who is Quick Man? Yes. So we never remember, but we're thinking maybe I have one
I
point.
I think it's 1-0 you.
I have a feeling after this, it'll at least be tied.
Maybe not. Because, surprised myself before.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm going to go ahead and get it out of the way, and I'm going to ask mine. All right.
Who wants to be a millionaire, Elias?
During, how do I frame this? During what or which book was Jack Kirby writing that gave him the inspiration for the whole concept of Fourth World and the New Gods?
So he was writing a comic book.
Yeah. And it's, and I'm not trying to trick you with this.
Yeah. It inspired him to write Fourth World.
Yeah. He had the idea for the whole concept of the New Gods, but he decided that it would have wrecked that current franchise. So he saved it for something later.
Interesting.
Before you, like, if you're not sure, then I will totally give you a hint.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I have a guess, but it's more just like through some weird string of events in my mind that kind of makes sense. But
well,
I have two guesses, but they're not related at all.
Well, my hint is that we've discussed this exact inspiration for New Gods on this show.
Well, now I have another guess, but I thought one of them came after the other.
I mean, I didn't look into the exact timeline for all of this, but...
Is it the Eternals?
No. Well, maybe my question was wrong, because, yeah, obviously the Eternals are related.
Yeah, well, I think those came later. Okay, well, if it's an actual comic book, my original guess, and I'm going to actually leave this as a final answer, and you can either give me half a point or whatever, was going to be Thor.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's Thor. Yeah. Because we were talking about, you know, this feels a lot like Thor.
Right.
Taking a baby.
Yeah.
And Thor and Loki.
Yeah.
So I'll give you the full point. Because
okay.
Thank you. If that's where your mind went the first time.
That's where it went first.
And I may have made it. Here, let me just. Oh. This was according to Wikipedia. Let me just read what this says.
My second guess, based on purely how you said four, was Fantastic Four.
Oh, I did not mean four.
Yeah, you kind of emphasized. Well, you said the fourth world or something like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah.
The idea of the New Gods had come to Jack years earlier when he was plotting 90% of the Tales of Asgard stories in Thor. He wanted to have two planets at war and end with Ragnarok, the battle that would kill Thor's lucrative pantheon. Instead, he tried the idea in his Inhumans story. Now he's presented it in its original context, though he would have never said it publicly. The New Gods books started right there, after the gods in Thor killed one another.
Cool.
So
it makes sense.
That and was
like,
that's interesting.
The New Gods, you know, if there's no more Thor and Odin and
Because I mean, like, where is the fourth world? Like, so does that, and that makes me think that like Thor and Asgard, that's the third world.
You'll get a panel in the coming comics, kind of talking about that process of the worlds.
Sweet.
Yeah. My question for you is possible that you get, and I'm not looking for like a specific verbatim word for word. Answer just as long as you get me the general idea.
General idea
that I deem general enough.
General enough.
What is, my friend Drew, the anti-life equation? This thing we keep hearing about nonstop in the comics. We've seen it in the movies. They're chasing after the anti-life equation. I mostly knew what it was, but when I read this definition, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, I get it. It wasn't far off.
Alex.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You want to take a swing and a miss at it?
Death. That's all. I mean, they said something about you can remap reality or something like that. I have no idea. Or I thought I read that.
Okay.
Yeah, so my guess is the anti-life equation is death. And I'll go no more deep than that because I have no idea.
It is death in the sense that like the infinity gauntlet in the wrong hands are death, but it's,
I don't know.
Okay. So what it actually is it is this equation that Darkseid obtained that is an actual formula, and it's a mathematical certainty that all life is hopeless and that freedom and hope are futile concepts, which dooms all that hear that to eternal despair. So, like, if you have and know the anti-life equation, like, if you truly grasp the concept of it, it is impossible for you to enjoy life or like, remove anything from your life but despair.
This the type of idea, like, you can't, I can't unhear that.
You can't unhear like, it. The worst version of that.
To the max.
Yeah. So that's why Darkseid's trying to get it. That's his thing. He wants, he can get rid of everybody by making everyone understand that it's not worth it. So in that comic we just, or in 4, you know, they allude to the possibility of Mr. Miracle being the anti-life equation. Yeah. And we get more into that as things go on. But it's one of the big things inside the DC universe. So
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Sweet. We're tied.
We're tied.
Huzzah.
Yeah.
I almost broke my Apple Watch just now.
That's good.
What else? Thoughts? Complaints?
None.
No thoughts, no complaints.
No.
Those are a fun few issues. It gets better. Hang in there with us. Please read this. You'll do even better to read these before these episodes so that we can help explain, because once we get to 10, 11, 12, I imagine that's going to be a little bit longer just for us to go, all right, let's walk through what you just saw and help you through this, because it's one of those things I needed a little bit of context, and I imagine unless you're doing your homework, you might also need the same. So that's it for me on the comic side of things. I enjoyed these.
Well, I'll go ahead and jump straight to, if you made it this far, definitely. I hope that you've left a 5-star rating and review on
do it.
Apple Podcasts and or other places. I did see that Sarah somehow, I guess she might be the first person ever to follow us on Podbean, our hosting site, because she left a comment talking about how much she loved the Black Widow stuff. And she was just really excited. I got an email about it.
Nice. What did she say? I didn't even see that.
I can't remember. It was. I wasn't prepared to even talk about it.
Stop it. I keep accidentally starting our podcast trying to look for more comments.
But, I mean, she basically said she's so glad that we were covering Black Widow because she's picking it up and is excited to read what comes next.
Yeah, she sent me a picture of it, of her reading it. I was like, yeah.
I did see issue 6 is now on Marvel Unlimited. Cool. So I'll probably read that.
I think she actually bought the trade for farther than that. Like she's found one that she likes.
So thank you for that.
Yes, thank you.
Anyway, if you're listening to this and you haven't, you know, a while back I created an Apple ID just so that I could go and leave some reviews for some people. So like, even if you don't use Apple Podcasts, it sure means a lot if you can go in and leave us a review. If you leave a 5-star, we'll read it. Also, we want to engage with you on Discord. Like I said earlier, there's a link, various places, description, show notes. We want to talk to you more deeply in a 2-way thing. And like I said, we've got something special coming up in a couple months, and you need to be on the Discord to be a part of that.
Yep. You don't want to miss it.
Also, follow us on Twitter, at 2ManComicBook with the number 2, Instagram, 2ManComicBookClub, Facebook also. And the other things, the blogspot, 2ManComicBookClub.blogspot.com. Shoot us an email, 2ManComicBookClub@gmail.com. Or, you know, if you just want to say something to us, give us a call, 662-MAN-FAN-8. And leave us a message and maybe we'll play it on the show. Where can they find you, Alex?
You can find me on all social media platforms at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like the Wayne train. Because that's what I'm on.
Wayne, yeah.
Yeah.
You can find me at Drew Morris Comp on Twitter, Drew Morris Composer, Instagram. I was about to say, hey, you can find my album on Bandcamp because it's Bandcamp Friday. But by the time this comes out, it will not be Bandcamp Friday. But you can still find my album on Bandcamp at drewmorrismusic.bandcamp.com.
Is that every Friday?
No, it's just the first Friday of the month.
No, you
and don't. I don't know if they're going to keep going. That was like to help support creators, artists, musicians through the pandemic. So,
well, it's not getting better. So maybe it'll keep going. Cool. That's all we got. Until next time, check us out. We'll be on 7, 8, and 9 next episode, and then finishing up this whole thing after that. And then it's on to a new series. But please read along. You're going to get more out of this if you do. And until next time, we'll see you later. Bye.
The Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our guy in the chair is Torrance Watkins. Logos and design work are by Tessa Price. Original theme music and compositions are by Drew Morris.
Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're keeping on with issues 4, 5, and 6 of Mr. Miracle by Tom King and Mitch Gerards. Let's go. We weren't quite sure when we first picked this episode, or this issue to cover, sorry, these series to cover, rather.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah. If we were actually going to go the distance, right? Like, 12 issues is...
We did it with Vision.
Right.
Because we started, I think we did basically the same thing. We covered a one or two in the beginning, and then we're just like, three at once.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, actually, we did this with another Tom King book. We feel like we can't leave you hanging with the story, essentially, is what it came down to. Like, so what we're going to do is cover 3 issues.
Oh, God.
Episode.
Oh, we're I never recording. Actually hit record. All right, we can okay.
How far in are we?
We're in 2 minutes. Do you want to just...
Yeah, let's just stop it.
Okay.
I was like...